This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
A few months ago, the Union of British Columbia Municipalities voted to save all the remaining old-growth forests on Vancouver Island. Before that, the BC Chamber of Commerce did the same thing. Along with environmental groups and First Nations, they are urging the provincial government to step in and protect what's left of the old growth. Torrence Cost is a campaigner with the Wilderness Committee, and he joins us today from Nanaimo. Hello, Torrence.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
So this fight has been carried on by environmental groups and First Nations for decades now. What's brought the Chamber of Commerce and municipalities on board now?
So yeah, as you mentioned, this is by no means a new issue. The war in the woods happened when folks like me were just little kids. And we are seeing unprecedented sort of momentum pick up. And I think it's because of the economic realities of the forest industry. People in communities, especially forest-based communities, aren't seeing benefit that they used to, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And the environmental destruction is the same as it's always been, which is far more than the ecosystems can withstand. So I think municipalities, Chamber of Commerce are getting on board because their constituents, people that live in these communities and local businesses in sectors like tourism, are seeing that there's more benefit leaving these forests standing than liquidating the very last of the old growth.
So besides tourism and bringing people into the area, what other reasons are there to preserve the old growth?
Well, from an environmental perspective, all forests are important, but old growth forests, the strengths of them in terms of ecosystems and benefits to the environment are virtually limitless. They purify air and water. Most people know that. They sequester far more carbon than do young forests. So in an era when climate change is not the biggest environmental issue, but the biggest issue overall facing our species and this planet, we have some of the most effective forests in the world in terms of absorbing carbon from the atmosphere and storing it there. That's a big one. Endangered species. BC is one of only two provinces in Canada without standalone provincial legislation that protects endangered species. That needs to change, first of all. And second of all, these forests provide habitat for species that can't thrive and in some cases can't survive in second growth. Beyond that, at one point, all forests on Vancouver Island were old growth, with a little bit of use, a little bit of harvesting, by the original indigenous people. So most of, the resources, the traditional medicines utilized by these cultures, can only be found in old growth, more easily than they are in second growth. So, you know, in an age where most people in BC, hopefully most people in Canada are thinking about reconciliation and how we repair these relationships, destroying the land base on which these indigenous cultures are based isn't the way to get there.
I've often wondered, though, what makes old growth old growth? I mean, how long a time period are we talking about? Are these decades or centuries?
Right. So that depends on who you ask. The companies that profit, some cutting them down, will say old growth forest can get back to old growth status in a few decades, 100 years. The government says 150 to 250 years, but we classify it, and forest ecologists and biologists, more importantly, classify old growth as forest that's never been logged industrially. So again, all the forests on Vancouver Island and the BC coast and the province in general have been utilized since time immemorial, but industrial disruption, when you have entire valleys cleared, in the case of some of the sounds on the west coast of Vancouver Island, entire islands cleared. This only started in the last 100 years and in a big way in the last 50 years. so we see old growth as forests that haven't been disturbed by industry like that. And for Vancouver Island, that we're talking about less than 10% of the island. More than 90% of Vancouver Island's land base has been cleared at one time, at least once, and in many cases even twice.
So what steps would you like to see the provincial government take?
So the provincial government controls forest jurisdictions in BC and all other provinces. What we need them to do is implement a moratorium on old growth logging completely, while we catch up in terms of science. There still needs to be some old growth harvesting from First Nations. Dugout canoes, for example, and many totem poles can only be made out of big monumental cedars. But that kind of harvesting, that traditional use, isn't why these forests are threatened to go extinct. They're threatened to go extinct because of the greed of the corporations that control these forests. So the provincial government needs to step in and say, look, you know, there's only 10% of these forests left on Vancouver Island. That's a far cry short of the nature needs half doctrine that a lot of ecologists use, which says that if we're serious about ecosystems and the species within them surviving, we need to set aside at least half of the land base in some form of protection. So the provincial government needs to step in and say enough is enough. And realistically, this is just getting ahead of the curve, because even logging corporations and their lobbyists will admit, you know, in 20, 25 years, there isn't going to be any old growth logging on this coast, because there won't be any old growth. You know, in terms of old growth forests have been developing since the last ice age, so 10 to 15,000 years ago. The trees within them, sometimes just an individual tree can be 1,000 years old. So that's not, you know, you can't manage a resource like that on a quarterly cycle, or even on over the course of a human lifetime. So the remaining old growth has to be treated as a non-renewable resource. We need to be sustainably managing our second growth forests, which we're also not doing a very good job of.
Now, increasingly, unions and forestry workers are also calling for an end to old-growth logging, and in particular, the export of raw logs. What's the connection between the raw log exporting and saving the old-growth forests on Vancouver Island?
Right. So it's a really important connection to make, and it hasn't always been made. Raw log exports are essentially when we're taking the trees down, we're cutting the branches off, sometimes the bark, and then we're putting them on ships and shipping them overseas, either down to the States or more commonly over to China. This is something that's always been done to a small degree. In the archives in Victoria, you can see pictures of sailing ships that were built with the bows and the sterns kind of flattened down so they could fit 100-foot logs on the ships to sail them back to England. But it's always been a fraction of the total cut. Even in the mid-90s, it was around a million and a half cubic meters. A cubic meter is roughly one city telephone pole. Now, the last 3 years have all been more than 6 million cubic meters. The raw logs we export every year from this province could be put onto logging trucks, and if those logging trucks were lined up end-to-end, they'd stretch from downtown Vancouver to Thunder Bay, Ontario. So this is a significant, really, really high percentage of the cut that we're exporting raw. It doesn't add value. It moves those jobs overseas. And the corporations are doing it because they can make more money doing that. The women and men who work in mills in BC, for the most part, are union workers, and they command a fair wage. That's not the case in other jurisdictions, especially places like China. So these corporations are selling them overseas, turning them into products there, and then selling the wood back here, similar to a lot of other resources in a globalized economy. So as a result, we have to log far, far greater portions, greater areas of forest, because we're getting a lower value for that. If the goal of the industry was to create as many full-time sustainable livelihoods as possible in places like Vancouver Island, we wouldn't need to touch the old growth. There's enough second growth there if we're managing it properly, but that's not the goal of the forest industry. The goal of the forest industry is for these corporations to make as much money as they can. They donate very generously to both major provincial parties, and that's why we have the policy that we do.
The Great Bear Rainforest Agreement and the moratorium in logging in Clackawit Sound were recent victories in forest conservation. What can we take from those successes for a plan for the rest of Vancouver Island.
Yeah, so that's kind of breaking the paradigm, and I think anytime sort of a different system of management is done in the forest that moves away from the status quo, it is going to be beneficial, especially in places like the Great Bear and Clackwood Sound, where you have more involvement from First Nations. That's the way we need to be headed too. You know, First Nations in forestry and most other activities have got the short end of the stick for far too long. It's time to transfer control back to those nations and for communities and First Nations to work together to do forestry in a way that works for local people and for Indigenous peoples who hold the rights to those forests. So yeah, those developments are exciting, and we need it basically to go viral and spread right up and down, right across Vancouver Island and right across the BC coast.
So how can the rest of us get involved?
So again, I mentioned a few minutes ago that neither main party, the Liberals or the NDP, have ending old growth logging on Vancouver Island in their platforms. That needs to change. All of us need to be pushing our candidates on old growth. Especially in the run-up to the election. The opposition is a little bit better around raw log exports, but they still have a long way to go on that. And, getting out there supporting, finding out where your local First Nation stands on forestry, if there's a grove or a valley that they're fighting for, and do what you can to support them in that. Follow groups like Wilderness Committee, Sierra Club BC, Ancient Forest Alliance, and it's going to be a busy spring in terms of really trying to make this an election issue and turn up the heat on both parties to take this seriously and give forests the attention, give forests and forestry the attention that they deserve heading into the election.
Well, thanks very much, Torrance, for speaking with me about this today.
Anytime, I appreciate it.
I've been speaking with Torrance Cost, who is the Vancouver Island campaigner for the Wilderness Committee.